This is the Big Web Show, everything web that matters. This show is hosted by Jeffrey Zeldman and Dan Benjamin. That's me. This episode is sponsored by GitHub, version control for software development, design, and so much more. Whether it's a weekend side project, your favorite open source library, a startup destined for glory, or you're a company's own application, GitHub helps everyone work together better by providing tools for easier collaboration and more visibility. Catch up on what happened while you're out of the office, get help on a tricky chunk of code, and back up critical changes to your design projects, all through a fast, gorgeous web interface that integrates with your favorite tools. Check it out at github.com. Open source is free. And by Harvest, a time tracking and invoicing web-based application serving the most creative and innovative businesses from Happy Cog to Volkswagen in over 100 countries worldwide. Send your clients beautiful invoices via email, PDF, or on the web, accept online credit card and check payments, and use the free iPhone app to track time and expenses on the go. You can even take pictures of receipts and upload them straight into the app. Check them out at getharvest.com, and when your free trial expires, use the code 5x5 at checkout, and you'll receive 10% off for the lifetime of your account. Offer expires January 31st, 2011.
Today's guest is Jim Kudal, founder of Kudal Partners in Chicago, which I guess has been around 15 years, maybe longer.
Yeah, just around there somewhere.
And as a web design shop, an ad agency, a print design house, and in the past 10 years, most notably and most famously for creating remarkable products like Field Notes. You had a record label for a while, which I think you still have. You have a product that helps people make CD covers that don't suck. You've got wonderful entertainments for the web, like Layer Tennis, formerly known as Photoshop Tennis. And we're in season 3, I believe. In fact, tomorrow's the championship, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. Tomorrow is the final match of the third season of Layer Tennis, featuring a designer from Bucharest, Noper, versus a designer from Chicago, Meg Reyes, in a winner-take-all championship match to be layer-by-layer commentary to be provided by Mr. Zeldman for us. So it should be a fun afternoon tomorrow.
That's true. I'll be doing that. And even if I have a sore throat, even if I get Dan's cold, I'll be able to do that because it's written.
And, that's right.
You know, I've been a Layer Tennis visual participant, and I've been a writer. And in both cases, it's really exhilarating. To me, it reminds me of the early days of the web, like or any time with a startup that you're about to launch something, that kind of excitement. But, you know, there's no product involved. There's no, you know, if you fail, it's just creative failure. But there's this real energy that comes from knowing you have 15 minutes to do the next round and thousands of people are watching. I mean, how many, you have what, where do people go if they want to watch tomorrow?
The best way to describe it is just go to layertennis.com. Tomorrow's match starts at 1 o'clock Chicago time, so adjust your time off of that. Should we assume that people watching the Big Web Show know what Layer Tennis is, I suppose?
we should, but go ahead and describe it in 5 words anyway.
In the shortest possible way, Layer Tennis is a live online design competition in which two designers, usually in two different places, swap a file back and forth every 15 minutes and updating or enhancing the work that's come before them. And at the end of their 15 minutes, we post their layer or their volley live to the web, and then they send the file to the other designer who gets to work on their 15 minutes. In the meantime, a third person, usually a writer or an editor or a blogger, someone like Jeffrey, writes play-by-play commentary about the layers that have been played. Mostly it's an excuse to crack wise. And then thousands of people watch the match while it happens, and then everybody votes on the winner via Twitter, and that's what it is. And we get tens of thousands of people checking into the match every Friday afternoon. We, this season, did some experimental exhibition matches followed by a 12-week season and a 4-week playoff. So tomorrow's the very last match of the season 3. But we're already talking about season 4. Our sponsor is Adobe Creative Suite, Creative Suite 5 right now, which makes perfect sense since almost all the layers are played using Adobe products. So
right. It originally was Photoshop Tennis, but you expanded because people also use Illustrator and other tools, right?
Yeah, we've even had guys play with Flash or After Effects and edit video back and forth. The acceleration thing that you talk about is interesting because, I mean, I think in one way, one reason that layered tennis is fairly popular with people is that as designers, we compete all the time. But when we're competing, it's Kudal Partners competing against Happy Cog for a piece of business. Or you and I are two designers in a firm and we're competing to see whose idea gets approved for the big new campaign. But we never, ever compete person to person. And we never, ever, ever compete live in front of other people. So I think the part of the attraction is that we get to see the kind of skills that people have and the imagination that they have, because in layer tennis, I think the execution is important, but the ideas are paramount. And so we get to sort of watch that unravel on a Friday afternoon, and it doesn't hurt that people don't really want to work on Friday afternoon anyhow.
Exactly.
So it's really sort of a good way to wind down your week or reduce your productivity. So
it would not have been a good Monday morning show.
No, I don't think so.
Same in fact, content.
It's always been on Fridays, even ever since we started. And, we were talking about this last match and tomorrow, which I think should be pretty interesting. The players are both really imaginative, and one's more of an illustrator, one's more of a designer, and they both have a very quick visual wit as well. But we're like, what are we going to do next Friday? Like, we've been doing these live matches, and it takes, a couple of us here to, we spin a lot of plates to get the match out smoothly, and it'll be interesting to have our Fridays back at least for a little while.
You have to go away with your wife.
I have this Christmas thing coming up that I've heard about, so I'll have to do that.
You'll have to do something like that. You have to do something completely different.
When we started, you sort of said that we were a design and design and advertising firm, and I guess we sort of are, but the difference, the way that we're different from most design and advertising firms is that we don't have any clients that we don't own. We've managed the work that we do for Layer Tennis and for Field Notes and for the deck and for Jewel Boxing and for all of our various other things is the same exact kind of work we would be doing if our clients were Major League Baseball and Fox Sports and McDonald's and Budweiser. The only difference is that instead of doing that work for somebody who would pay us for it, we're doing it for businesses and services that we've developed on our own behalf. So
now I want to get to that because you were one of the first agencies to transition from client work to being your own client. 37 Signals, and the other person I know, we've had him on the show, is Todd Dominey, who made the transition to making an app full time and stopped being a creative director at Turner Broadcasting. But that's a transition a lot of people, some people will never make. Some people wouldn't want to make. Other people, can't wait to make. And I know we're going to talk about how you did that, but I just want to talk a little bit more about layer tennis before we move on. Because first of all, how did that start? You've explained the rationale of why it's appealing. And that makes a lot of sense. But where did the idea come from? An exercise you were doing at the agency or?
Yes. Like most of our ideas, it happened sort of by accident. One of our designers at the time, Susan Everett, and I, one day were just messing around and sending a Photoshop file back and forth. And I don't exactly know if it started on a client project or whatever, but we sort of thought it was interesting to work on something and send it to somebody else and have them work on it and send it back to you. And so we wrote about it on kudal.com, and then probably in a bar or somewhere, someone had the idea to you know, maybe we should do this live. And Susan and I did it live on our site once. And then it was kind of a short leap from there to invite two non-Kudal Partners designers to play. And I believe the very first match was, I don't remember the names now, was a designer in Croatia and a designer in Montreal, and we invited them to play live at Kudal. And right before it started, I was emailing with Rosecrans Baldwin from the Morning News, a long time friend of the agency, and either he said or I said, wouldn't it be kind of funny if somebody did Howard Cosell on this match we're gonna have? And he said, sure, I'll do it. And so he, you know, just marked up the HTML with some smart-ass comments about the match, and people started blogging it. Nobody was tweeting it at the time. There was no tweeting. But so we did another one the next week, and we did another one the next week. And by the end of a couple of months, we were having 30,000 people coming to Kudal.com on Friday afternoons to watch this crazy Photoshop tennis. So we figured we were on to something. But, you know, and maybe in some way it actually sort of planted our flag on the web in a way that we might not have been able to had we just continued to blog and, you know, make our films and do experimental stuff. Right. Because it got a lot of people's attention. So they're like, well, who's behind this thing? And so the traffic to Kudal.com increased generally, certainly increased on Friday afternoons, but generally increased. People were sort of interested in what we were doing. And we did it for a couple of years, and then we kind of got distracted. We got distracted by this CD packaging thing and by some client work or whatever. And we kind of put it on the back burner for a little while. And went on to other things. And then, you know, fast forward for a couple of years later, we're working with Adobe's agency in San Francisco, Goodby Silverstein and Partners, with the guy there who's no longer there, but a smart guy named Sidney Bosley. And they were looking for some interesting sort of promotional ideas for the release of Adobe Creative Suite 3. And we said, well, we have this, you know, Photoshop.
Hang on. You say you were looking for, because I want to...
No.
That's the last piece of it.
Yeah, the agency
For Adobe contacted you. Goodby
Silverstein in San Francisco was looking for interesting ideas to help promote Adobe's product. And so we were working with them on some other stuff, and we said, you know, we have this Photoshop tennis thing. Let's dust this thing off and kind of remake it. And if you remember, CS3 was really the first iteration of the Creative Suite that had a really nice interoperability between the different applications. Yep. For example, between Illustrator and Photoshop, specifically to tennis. And so we dusted it off and renamed it Layer Tennis, since people would be using different applications. And we made a presentation through and with Goodby to Adobe for sponsorship of a season of it. And they were excited by it and decided to go forward with it. And then we relaunched it as Layer Tennis. So what started out as a game and later became just sort of an online goof-off session eventually sort of became a sponsorable web event. So I guess you
have a genius for that. Yeah, go ahead. You have a genius for goofing off, doing things that are fun for you when you should be working on something, and then finding a sponsor who wants what you have and will pay you for it.
I will completely agree with you as far as that I'm a genius at goofing off. That was just serendipity. On the other hand, and I've talked about this in other forums, that serendipity or chance like that, you know, if you're not open-minded and you're not creating interesting things, that stuff doesn't happen. You know, like nobody just calls you up and says, here's a huge paycheck, can you come up with something cool for me? You know, I don't know. That's never happened to me. Maybe that happens at the COG, but it doesn't happen to us. And so, you know, because we were already working with Adobe and their agency through the DAC, which is the ad network that we developed and run, we had an in with them. That was certainly an advantage. And because we had wasted so much time and goofed around so much on Photoshop Tennis when it was not for profit. In fact, it was a loss leader.
They didn't like it either, did they? Initially, didn't you get some grief from Adobe, or is that just alleged?
No. No, I mean, it wasn't the smartest thing I ever did to call it Photoshop Tennis to begin with. Like, I would think that if we called up an IP lawyer, they would say it's probably advisable not to have somebody else's trademark in your trademark.
Right.
I don't think the name was very smart, but we actually never even got any guff from that. I mean, I think all you had to do is look at one match of it and see how the tools just shine through. Like, it wouldn't even be possible, except for the fact that Adobe has such a large segment of the design population that I can pretty much invite two designers anywhere in the world to play and be pretty sure that at least they're both going to share Photoshop and Illustrator.
That's right.
That's really saying something. You know, there, find me another place where they're, you know, where that, you know, I guess we could have a lawyer play against an accountant and do a PowerPoint tennis. That might work.
Absolutely. But, absolutely. Or Excel.
Yeah,
I find a lot of people using Excel, but it really, it's almost a perfect demo for the tools and the way the tools let people be creative, because, you know, a person takes something and then instantly shrinks the other person's contribution and surrounds it, you know, puts spirals around it, and the next person ghosts back that, you know, it really does. You see the play between the two designers, and they can actually grab material from each other's files and accentuate something else. It's, you know, it gives them a power that like two writers would have with words, where you can actually grab the stuff, the creative stuff the person is making, and change it. So if I were Adobe, I'd go, I can think of no better demo of how what's awesome about these products, this suite of products, than this tool. And the fact that you've got 30,000 people showing up on a Friday because this is the high point of their week to watch this thing. Now, you've had how many designers compete in this?
Well, this season we had 12 regular season main events, so that's 24 designers. And then for the second half of the season, we also let people nominate themselves to play in what we call qualifying matches. And those matches don't have a commentator and there's no voting on them. We just let two people play and they take place before the main event. And interestingly, one of our finalists tomorrow started out playing in the qualifying matches and was elected by the Layer Tennis fans to play in the postseason tournament, and here he is in the finals tomorrow. So that's sort of interesting too. You know, you say it's sort of like two writers, it's sort of like two musicians in a way. In some way, I like to, you know, it's kind of the improv thing.
Yeah, very much. It's jazz. So let me ask you this: hundreds of designers overall, hundreds of
yes. Over the last three seasons, yes.
Have you had Africans? Have you had?
Yes.
South Americans, you've had people from Asia, everywhere.
South Africa we have. Recently this year we had somebody playing from Moscow, Singapore, Manila, Brazil, U.S., Canada, pretty much everywhere in Europe, Japan. So, it's sort of interesting. We played an exhibition match right before the season started, calling Around the World in 10 Layers. And that was, we took one file and it started in Portland, and a designer made something and then passed it on to another designer in San Francisco. And 50 minutes later, they passed it to Chicago, and it went to New York, and then it went to London, then it went to Paris, then it went to, Moscow, and then to Japan, and then to Australia or something like that. It went to 10 places around the world, 15 minutes at a time. And so in 2.5 hours, this Photoshop file circumnavigated the world. That was kind of a fun exhibition match.
I commentated that one for you.
Yes.
And I had to learn about, because I knew some of the designers, obviously, but you know, Swiss Miss was one of the competitors, but there were other designers I didn't know. So I basically, from you, I said, tell me some cool stuff about these people beforehand, which is another amazing thing about this activity. This is a community where you actually have gotten to know a lot of people, and maybe, you know, not just in that passive way we know each other where, oh, yeah, I've seen that person's site a couple times, or, oh, yeah, I downloaded their app and had it on my iPhone for a while. It was okay, you know, but really, to really interact with all these people, you know, I think it's wonderful to foster this kind of interaction and competitiveness, again, where it's not competing for work. It's none of that secrecy and hostility that sometimes happens between, especially in advertising. When I was in advertising, I mean, you could lose your job if you talked about what you were working on.
Yeah.
And the web has always been the opposite of that. But there, you know, But corporate wise, they're still, you know, I can't really tell you what we're going to do next, and you can't tell me what you're going to do next. Well, actually, you can. You can, because you're a you're not in the client services business anymore. But if you still were, we might be pitching the same piece of business. So, you know, all that goes away. All that secrecy and tension and paranoia kind of goes away in a game like this. And it's just good, clean fun.
Yeah, so. And the dirty little secret is it really doesn't make any difference who wins. It's, you know, it's competitive and collaborative at the same time. For me personally, that's my favorite part of it, is like finding people and inviting them to play. And almost everybody who I've ever invited, with very few exceptions, knew what layer tennis was and said yes.
Right.
There's, you know, very few people said no. Some people said no. They said, I just work too slow. There's no way I could do it. Other people said no because they didn't have a scheduling conflict. But, and you know, when they say yes, they are saying, I don't think they exactly know the kind of pressure it's going to be, but that's all fun too. So
it's terrifying. Anyway. It's terrifying. Yeah.
It especially is like for the writer. The writer's got to keep working the whole match. At least if you're a designer, you hand off your design, you can breathe for 15 minutes while the other guy's working. So, but the writer's just got to go. So,
well, there's a back room. There's a digital back room that nobody knows about where the designer who's just finished their layer is sort of having a drink and scoffing at, you know, scoffing at the other designer's sweat and everything. And the writer never gets, the writer like peeks in from time to time and it's like, I'm done. And it's like
in the campfire room. Earlier this year, Josh Davis was getting was playing against Brendan Dawes, and he was waiting for Brendan to return his volley, and he got so bored he went outside and he took a camera with him, and he went outside and skateboarded while he was waiting, and everybody could watch it because he was streaming himself live during the match. So that was pretty
fun. That was a rock star move. And not only was he's like a 45-year-old guy skateboarding in his backyard, but he used to be a featured sponsored skateboarder, so it's like, you know, it wasn't like me skateboarding.
And he also had played Photoshop tennis in the very beginning too. So way back when. So the season wraps up tomorrow. It should be fun.
He was also stealing thunder in this like subtle way from Brendan. So there's Brendan sweating to do his next thing, and everyone's watching Josh like, wow, look at Josh skate.
Yeah, right. It was pretty interesting.
So, yeah, there's lots of psychology to it.
And there are very few rules, which is good, so you never know what anybody's going to do, and that sort of keeps it interesting too. So,
another thing I wanted to ask you about. I've seen you speak, and you've spoken at our show, and most people when they speak, they create an outline and they have a whole structure, and you know, especially designers will have like 5,000 slides that are like painstakingly art directed, and you know, the slide ironically riffs off what they're talking about or whatever. Now, when you talk, you put a slide that says Kudal Partners up, then you stand in front of it and talk for about 45 minutes, and that's it.
Yeah.
So how did you get that? How did you evolve that laid back presentation style? And are you ever nervous about that? Or because you really do seem like a kind of, your whole creative style seems to be one of improvisation, and it really works for you. And like from the products and everything else, it's just you have these ideas and you seem confident that even without an outline, you're going to be fine in a talk. So where do you get that confidence?
You know, just because I don't have slides doesn't mean I don't have an outline. The secret to seeming like I'm making it up as I go along is that I rehearse the speech dozens of times, pacing in my hotel room before I give it. I don't know why I started without slides. I think probably laziness. And then I'm sort of an anti, here's some words that you can read, and then I'm going to read them to you. And so once I started doing it without slides, and you know, I'm pretty well. I'm not nervous if I'm well rehearsed. I'm nervous if I'm not well rehearsed. And generally, I have a pretty tight sort of structure to a presentation that I'll give. But I will say that not having the slides gives me the freedom to maybe take a section of the presentation in a direction that I hadn't anticipated, or to amplify a point that seems more appropriate in the moment than I might have thought when I was putting together a slide presentation. So,
I never feel like I show a
film or video or something, but
yeah,
I
you never I feel guess, like you just ran out of time. the other genius thing about it is you never seem like you ran out of time. I tend to put too many slides together. I give myself 90 minutes worth of material and try to cover it in 55 minutes, kind of on the, oh man, who, this 1930s announcer who used to not go to the bathroom, not pee, he would drink a lot of water and go on it, so that he had this urgency to his presentation and people thought he was a great speaker. Similar to that, I give myself too much material in the hopes that I will rush through it. And it's not that I'm rushing, but I just get perceived as a high energy guy. I'm not really high energy. I'm just panicking.
Yeah. But if I don't make it on time is that I just rehearse it to time. I mean, that's the secret, is that I do the speech lots of times and I time myself when I do it. So that's the only way I don't feel like about to throw up when I speak, is if I'm well rehearsed. So maybe I come across as that it's super easy and it's just coming off the top of my head, but that's sort of the plan. But to get to there, you know, and I don't write it out word for word, but I write out a pretty solid outline, and then, you know, fill it in while I'm rehearsing. So
what are you talking about these days when you have to get up in front of people, other than here's what we do at Kudal Partners, which is, you know, Kudal Partners, sorry.
Yeah, I don't like doing that speech as much, because, you know, it's just like, see how cool we are, which is not a really fun speech for anybody. But recently I spoke in Toronto and it was a big meeting of Canadian designers, and they wanted me to speak about how did I fire my clients and make my own businesses. I think that's still a hot topic with a lot of people. And it's an interesting story. I use some specific examples from the past, you know, 7 or 8 years at Kudal Partners. So I speak about that. And then, for example, at South By last year, John Gruber and I spoke about online advertising. You know, with him as the perspective of a site owner and me from the perspective of a network operator. And again, we did that. I interviewed him and then he interviewed me, and we tried to make it look like it was super breezy and easy, but we rehearsed the whole thing probably 15 times before we got on the stage. And ironically, the very first time we ever rehearsed it was the best one we ever did. So maybe we over-rehearsed that. But
that's why I don't rehearse. We have two. We're running a little. We're going to have to end soon, unfortunately. But I wanted to go back to a topic you mentioned a minute ago, which is how you made that transition and how you fired all your clients. Because not only was that a good topic for you, but I think that'll be a good topic for our listeners. And the other thing I'm curious to know, and we can do this one quicker, if you've got a and Dan is signaling me through a secret video stream using hand signals because he can't talk, that he's interested in this as well. Are you considering a way to make Layer Tennis work on mobile, or are you considering a special Layer Tennis mobile experience maybe for next year? Or
yes.
That was easy. Okay, and do I know you get asked this all the time, but if you don't mind, because this is a dream many people have, how do you go from working for the man to working for yourself?
Well,
not the clients are the man. We love clients.
You said that we were one of the first. At least visible design firms that was starting to do this. And actually it might've been a little bit of a Chicago thing, because,
37 Signals.
Jason Fried and 37 Signals, and also a company called Skinny Corp, which is, was Jake, Nickel and Jacob DeHart, were in Chicago, and they were doing work for liquor brands and lots of other things. And we were working for sports teams and restaurants, and Jason was working for, big online things. And, Jason built, 37 Signals and his online applications. We built the deck and Field Notes and Layer Tennis, and, Skinny Corp, built a thing called Threadless, as an experiment. And in all three cases, I think that the other two guys would agree that it wasn't like a plan from the beginning to create something that would allow us to be free of clients. It was more like we created something because we wanted to, and through our work on it, it grew to a point that we really didn't have time for the client work anymore. And so it is maybe a little disingenuous to say that we fired our clients. We sort of lost them by atrophy, as we lost some for reasons that didn't have anything to do with us. They went to a new agency or they had a new marketing manager come in. But then as we moved on, we were spending all of our time on jewel boxing and the show and layer tennis and developing field notes in the deck. And that made us a pretty crappy service company. Like, we were not a very good design consultancy. The work we did was good, but we were constantly turning down jobs because we knew we didn't have the time to put to it. And I think that happened to Skinny Corp, and that happened to 37. And at some point, we looked at ourselves individually and said, well, why don't we just stop doing these other jobs that we don't enjoy anyhow? And if we put all of our efforts behind the sort of crackpot experiments that we started, maybe they'll turn into businesses that can support us. So the key, I think, is to be open to experimentation and to try ideas and not talk them to death. Ideas tend to take the path of least resistance, and the path of least resistance is almost always finding an excuse why you cannot do something. And so our theory, and this is probably through of Jason and Jake and lots of other firms who have gone in this direction, is to if the idea is good enough to get you excited, it's good enough to throw out there and see what happens. And not every idea we've developed turned into a business, nor did we ever expect it to. And some of the ideas we developed turned into businesses that we didn't expect them to be. But if you're open to I guess it goes without saying, you got to work hard because you still got to do the client work to make the payroll and pay the rent. And so a lot of this experimental sort of stuff you're creating is happening in extra hours as opposed to in business hours. But if you've got the gumption for that and you've got the ideas, maybe the real skill is, once you get to that point, the real skill is having the vision to see which ideas might actually turn into something and which ones won't. So, then once it starts, it's hard to stop, because once you get out of the business of compromising on creative and going to meetings you don't want to go to and arguing about bills after they've been billed and invoices, you lose your taste for that really quickly. And now I think we just can't take any client work anymore because we just don't have any patience for it. Like, we just don't. I just couldn't be in a situation where somebody told me that my expertise might be wrong because they didn't like this color blue or they wanted some flashy rollover button. Like, I just think I would go ballistic. So, once you stop doing it, it's just very difficult to get back to do it, to even think about doing it. So,
well, thank you for saying gumption.
Gumption, that yes.
That's a lovely word.
To take it back to your idea for this being a holiday theme, gumption is the Goodall Partners holiday theme word of the day. So,
Thank you for giving more clients for the rest of us.
That's good. And I'm not dissing the client service industry. Some of my best friends are clients and client service professionals.
That's such a 60s thing to say. Some of my best friends. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, so thank you. Sorry our time is limited. I'm sure we'll want to have you on again. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for making the time to talk to us. And have a great holiday.
We'll see you tomorrow at Layer Tennis. I'll see you
tomorrow at Layer Tennis.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks to our sponsors, GitHub.com and GetHarvest.com, for making this show possible. And thanks to you for listening. You can hear past episodes of this show and find out about all of our other shows by visiting 5x5.tv. And if you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating the show on iTunes. It's the best way to help new listeners find out about the show.